Hey everybody, welcome to Sink or Be Sunk. I'm Thunderwolf. Joining me as normal is
Doomlock
and Helicopter Rescue.
Yeah. So yeah, that's the first time I've done the intro. I probably screwed it up, but never mind. At least I tried.
You're fine.
At least I tried. That's the main thing. Speaking of trying, I think we've all been doing Clan Wars.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
What do you think of them?
We found it very challenging and difficult, my clan has.
See, I've noticed something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I've played in Supremacy League. I played in the last season, which has, I believe, now ended. And to be fair, I've only played one season, so I'm not being completely... I'm not saying I'm a veteran or anything, so my knowledge is pretty limited. But going from Supremacy League and then playing Clan Battles, there is a huge difference. From my perspective, by which I mean Clan Battles is like... it's just like playing ranked half the time. Granted, every now and then you'll get a team like MIA or Salty or OPG, APOC, that actually kind of work together, they're communicating, and they, you know, do it properly like they would in Supremacy League. But most of the clans are, right, go here, go here. After that, do whatever the hell you like. And it's, at that point, aside from the start, it's just a random battle. And since playing like that, I seem to do better.
Huh.
And I'm not sure if I should be happy about it.
Well, this has been my clan's first real, like, competitive thing as well. Except for any ranked season, and even then, that's, as I've put it, ranked is seven individuals playing to win the game. Clan Wars is a seven-person team all communicating to win. Well, all trying to communicate.
Are they all communicating?
And trying to win the game. But even then, it's like you're going up against people who, are they your skill level? Are they below? Are they above? It's all over the place with the with how
And that's kind of what I meant by it's like playing ranked.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is you're all in the same clan. Theoretically, you know your teammates.
Yeah, you know what they're capable of. Unlike ranked.
And I gotta mention it. Ranked has carriers.
Yes, that so too.
There's that too.
That does bring up a point for Clan Wars that I've seen.
Playing Clan Wars has actually, I've started, when Clan Wars started, I only had one tier 10. That was the Yamato.
Mm-hmm.
Now I have five.
Wow.
Impressive.
As motivation goes, not too bad.
Yeah, well, I started with one. I've gotten to two. I'm closing in on a third.
What ships do you two normally use? What have you been doing well in?
I've done, well, actually, with the two tier 10s that I have, I've done well with both, in both random and Clan Wars. One of them I've done hilariously well in. I've got Zhao and Des Moines. And those are two of the lines that I've really enjoyed going up to and playing through. The IJN cruisers, ESN cruisers. That was my main drive throughout my beginning years of the game, was going up the Japanese cruiser line and getting Zhao, and then also going up the USN cruiser line and getting Des Moines. Now that I've got them, now I can focus on other things.
Ella, what are you using most in?
I, unfortunately, unlike you guys, I work during clan battles time. So from the start of the season, you know, until now, I've played a total sum of two battles.
Hey, at least you played two battles. Did you win?
Yes, 100% win rate.
100% win rate. Right, quit now and you're already good.
I know, right?
You're super, you're ultra, you're not even super unicum, you're ultra unicum.
Oh, God.
Dude, do you know how many battles you've played?
How many I have?
Yeah, in clan battles.
Well, that's a good question. I think it's somewhere around,
you have no idea, do you?
70 to 80, I think.
But anyway, we better move on, otherwise we're going to be here all night.
This is true.
There's a lot of new ships coming.
Indeed. a lot of them.
Yeah.
There's a whole tech tree.
There's a whole list of French ships that apparently have big guns on them that have been announced.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why the French have big guns. It's not like they're going to use them. That was a joke.
As you know, the Pan-Asian destroyers are here.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a little bit pesky, a little bit. You know, you're just going to be seeing all Pan-Asian DDs in the lower tier for a couple of days. I am really excited. Honestly, like, to me, the Pan-Asian DDs are pretty cool. You know, in my opinion, I think Wargaming did a good job in balancing all that, you know, smoke, torpedoes.
I don't know that. Unlike these two nerds, I haven't been following all the stats and all the changes. I don't know how much HP they have. I don't know the speed. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Normally because I don't care.
Well,
it only matters when I start playing.
To each their own, you know, like some people look forward to some ships and really follow them. Some people like...
Yeah, I mean, if you want to know that sort of stuff, I'm at it. Go nuts. You know, I'm not going to stop you. But it can get kind of frustrating when people will not shut up about them. Like, stop talking. I don't care anymore.
Been the buzz for a while, you know, like...
You're talking to someone that doesn't go on the forums or Reddit or Facebook or anyone else interesting, actually. Actually, that's not true. There's a few streamers I go on to.
Finally found the outlet for Thunder to fight things.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but the people I watch don't normally play... Well, either they can't, or I tend to miss those streams.
I see. Anyways, I'm really looking forward to the Tier 7, the Gaja Mada. Gosh, that sounds so badass just saying that, too. It's like...
The funny part is you probably mispronounced that so badly.
I like probably
half,
did.
Half the viewership are just face-palming on their desk right now.
Well, I see, the thing is I haven't even looked up how to pronounce them, so... I probably didn't, but...
A lot of people don't. A lot of people just seem to make it up as they go along, which is fair enough. It's another language.
Other than that, Tier 7, really, like, everything else kind of seems... I'm not that interested, I should say. Like...
Yeah, I mean...
I know, like, some of the ones are, you know, the lower tier ones were kind of intriguing you a little bit, Thunder. What did you...
Yeah, especially the tier 4, for example, looks a lot like the Minakaze, which I personally enjoyed. I didn't think it was a bad boat.
Well, basically, it is a Minakaze.
Yeah.
But it's a Minakaze, but you took the terrible guns on it and gave it good guns. That's actually what they did.
I'll believe that when I see it.
Take our word for it.
Go play it for yourself.
Let's be fair. I personally, when playing DDs, knife fights are not my thing. If I don't have a cruiser or two, or at least a battleship that knows how to shoot, supporting me, then chances are, if I get into a fight with one DD, no matter what it is, I'm probably going to lose. I don't know what it is I'm doing wrong. I haven't figured that out yet. But either way, I'm going to end up losing if I don't have someone to help me. So things like saying it has good guns means nothing to me. It's not a benefit.
I see.
See, the thing is, beyond that, it's not only the weaponry on at least the Japanese one of the line. It's also the smoke screen. And that's one of the special things of the line, too. There's smoke screen.
Is it like the Perth?
Not exactly. And yes, at the same time.
I would say it's American smoke on steroids.
American smoke on steroids.
When you activate it, it will continue activating for 30 seconds. So you're going to put out smoke clouds for 30 seconds. And then it's going to last for each puff lasts 70 seconds. However, you have 4 charges of smoke base. 5 with a premium smoke, and the recharge is the cooldown is fast enough to where once your smoke ends, it's like 5 seconds and your smoke is back. You can remain like permanently smoked for like 6 minutes.
Pretty much the entirety of the match, honestly.
I can see that being useful in the lower tiers, but when you get into the higher tiers, like probably tier 7 actually, and higher.
I had seen Flamu when he was playing Tigaja Mada. You know, he's going for the cap. He ate a torp, he went down to like 4k HP, and this was like 2 minutes into the match, and you would think, you know, 4k HP, 2 minutes into the match, you know, destroyer won't have a chance, but he went on to do 140k plus, and with, I believe, a Kraken. So it was because he was literally not seen outside of smoke the whole, pretty much the whole entire match after that.
Until I actually start playing, especially start playing, because I don't think anyone plays the low tiers for very long, at least not to get used to the ship. Yeah, maybe not until probably about tier 5 is when you start playing them long enough.
They'll need to get used to how the deep water torpedoes work. Mm-hmm. That'll be what those are for.
My understanding is the deep water torpedoes hit everything except for destroyers.
Yes.
Is that right?
They will hit every ship type except destroyers.
To me, that's a turnoff.
Hmm.
Because when I'm in a fight with a DD, torpedoes mm-hmm. tend to be pretty damn useful.
Yep.
But with these, I have to use the guns. And as I said earlier, I'm not good with the guns.
Which is, you know, the downside to these, you know, destroyers. If you're playing these, you're going to have to be watchful for gunboat DDs on the enemy team. You know, things like... Things like the Akizuki, the Khabarovsk, the Tashkent, the Clemson, like these gunboat DDs that can charge you down possibly, like, and you can't hit them with torps. All you can use is your guns. So you have to be, I think that's a very, like, very good balance on that aspect of it.
Right, honestly, I mean, since you can't use the torpedoes, I would hope the guns
are
at least on par with... Yeah, that of the US and...
Yeah, basically what I was saying, the Japanese one has Nicholas's stock guns, mm-hmm. those high-velocity 5-inch guns. Yeah. I think
don't remember. It's been a while since I played the Nicholas.
When you get to the Tier 6, you got the Russian 130mm, and that one's always had very good ballistic performance. Looking at Flamu's video, the Gajimata's, the Tier 7, has pretty good ballistic qualities and mm-hmm. high fire chance. Yeah, it's hilarious.
Extremely high.
And then from...
British battleship? High fire chance? Or?
For destroyer, it's pretty high, yeah.
Right.
And then from Tier 8 up, it's destroyer... U.S. 5-inch guns that you know and, well, I was about to say know and love, but I know some people don't love them, so you all know and have an opinion about.
Yeah, it's totally not someone here.
Mm-hmm.
So, because he hasn't actually used those guns yet.
But the deep water torpedoes, it'll...
Frame of reference, DD-wise, the only line I've completed is the Japanese line. Everything else is on Tier 6.
Okay.
So my knowledge with destroyers is somewhat limited.
That's why I can see why you don't like gunfights and why you lose gunfights, because you haven't played the Russian destroyers.
Fun fact, it doesn't matter. I do better in a gunfight with the Japanese destroyers than I ever did in any other destroyer.
Well, it's, you know, the one line that you play a lot and have finished, and so you're more comfortable.
Yeah, quite possibly. Mm-hmm. And there will come a time where I will have to grind them, and hopefully I'll learn.
Yeah.
And actually, going back to the Pan-Asian line, some of these destroyers look like they're going to be really hard to hit, especially at this, just because of how low they are. And I'm not talking, I mean, the Tier 10 is pretty low to the water, but it's also got quite a bit of superstructure in the middle.
Yeah.
And especially up front. But I was looking at it just
a little bit more maneuverable. A little bit more maneuverable.
Yeah. But yeah, things like the Tier 10, where there's Tier 6, fuck's sake. the Tier 2, where you're at that kind of tier, you don't have a lot of superstructure, but this thing is ridiculously low to the waterline. Like, I'm right now, I have the game open, I have this ship showing in my port, and the mm-hmm. waves in the ports are going like halfway up the hull.
In some cases, it
just went onto the deck. Like that's how low to the water it is.
It's pretending to be a submarine.
I think at this point it may as well be a submarine. it's close enough already.
Here's the submarine we've been waiting for, boys.
it's come in the form of the Tier 2. It's come in the form of a destroyer.
Was this the Long? How do you pronounce that? Long Jiang.
I'm pretty sure it's Long Jiang. I believe
Long Jiang.
I'm gonna guess that's correct.
If we're wrong, we'll probably get corrected at some point.
Probably.
But other than, you know, what do you call it? I'm super excited for these. You know, to start grinding up to the Tier 7. I haven't yet. Other than the an actual line, there's a lot of pretty cool premiums that are on the way that I'm looking at. You know, I am, you know, self-admitting, you know, self-proclaimed wallet warrior, you know, not going to deny that. So
do you have the bell first?
Yes, I do. Oh. And I did not sell it back. So
I realize I'm making that joke. I actually have the bell first myself.
Oh, gosh.
And I have also not sold it back.
Funnily enough, I also have the Belfast, and I also haven't sold it back.
So, doing like the premiums that are upcoming, like what do you
premiums upcoming?
Yeah.
I have something open here for that. Yeah, there's plenty of nice new ones coming up, and they, all of them looking real interesting and stuff. All of them having something real, like
yeah. I can't wait. Some of them. It's
oh yeah,
the Roma.
As I said earlier, I have absolutely no idea what's happening.
Well, that's what we're here for, Thunder. We'll mm-hmm. You're the audience. We're the ones giving you the information.
Yay! this can't possibly go wrong. Oh wait, yes it can.
Oh, dang it already went wrong.
I'm actually on the dev blog.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called? Facebook. Scrolling like crazy to get to the bottom.
It'll be a while before we get to the bottom.
Yeah, that's how many ships are coming. You know, that's how many cool stuff that are coming.
Yeah. And to be fair, here, I've found some of them now.
I mean, we obviously have the USN Cruiser Spitline coming.
We do?
Yeah.
Indeed.
I'm not sure how to feel about it, in all honesty.
That's fair.
Well, here's what I'll tell you. The Cleveland is going to go up to Tier 8. What do you think about that?
In its current state, I'm currently on the Cleveland. I haven't got any further on that line.
Mm-hmm.
As it is now, meh. I don't feel like playing it. It's not, for my playstyle at least, it just doesn't work. I've had much better luck with stuff like Bajani. And,
I can see that with the German range
one.
And stuff
I don't remember what the German one for Tier 6 is called.
Nuremberg.
The Nuremberg. I love the Nuremberg. The Nuremberg, it's fragile, but it's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the Cleveland, and I don't see it. Because I know it used to be at Tier 8 before, the Cleveland.
Actually, no.
Or it used to be higher up, like Tier 7, Tier 9, whatever it was.
Not that either. It's the story with Cleveland and Tier 8 is it was back in early to mid-closed beta. She was a monster. There's a reason she has a reputation even still, and it's because she was an utter monster in closed beta. She was hit with the nerf bat more than a few times, and she's now what she is now. She is a Tier 8 in Tier 6 clothing, because her AA is what Cleveland was built with, her fully upgraded AA. Her guns are a shadow of what they should be, and possibly, and since she's moving up to Tier 8, she could also get radar like New Orleans does.
My interactions with Cleveland is just at Tier 6.
Yeah, and that's most every interaction with it.
So I don't have a frame of context for Tier 8. When it comes to cruisers, the only Tier 8 cruiser I've got or gone past is a Charles Martel, the French Tier 8.
Okay.
Well, fair enough.
So I don't see it working at Tier 8 myself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, to give you the idea, what will happen, or at least what I'm expecting to happen. First, the guns will return to what their historical stats, which she is heavily nerfed from. You know how the 180 turret traverse is pretty slow? That's not the case of the guns. They do a 180 in 18 seconds. That's Russian destroyer fast for the turrets. Reload drops by 2 seconds to 6 seconds. That's Nuremberg.
It's all very well looking on paper. I tend to be more of a mm-hmm. wait and see until it's actually done kind of player. So maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. We'll find out.
Yeah, there's a lot of players who are kind of like you, Thunder. Like they want to, instead of looking at the numbers on paper or, you know, the stat previews and stuff, they want to actually, like, when it comes, play it and compare it to how it was. Generally speaking, you know, the Cleveland is at this right now where it's at, it's like being pretty much held back by the nerf bat, you know, with everything. Yeah. Like as soon as it gets to Tier 8, I'm pretty sure it's going to reach its full potential. No doubts.
Yeah, definitely, in my opinion.
And of course, the line ends with the war sister. Am I saying that right? I can't even say
no.
that.
You read that and you will think, and when I tell you how it's pronounced, you will not believe me. Woosta.
Okay. Oh, God. Yeah. I can't say that.
Thunder will agree with me. It's the city in England, but without the Shire.
Yeah, no,
it's Woosta.
Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna skip that conversation.
It's gonna take me quite a while to get used to it, and I'm sure
Indeed.
A lot of
yeah, it's gonna take me a while to get up there.
And then they're like, two. The guns are like what, like 6 inches, 5 inches?
They're 6 inch.
6 inches.
But they're 6 inch guns that behave exactly like Atlanta's guns, as in a 5 second reload and 7.2 second turret traverse. Yeah. They're dual purpose. They're kind of. They're kind of hilarious. And what they were saying at the Let's Battle Tour over the summer last month when they were talking about the cruiser split, when they got to Woosta, they were saying that one of the things they're thinking about is having it be able to use hydro, defensive fire, radar all at the same time and not have to switch. That's excluding also damage control and repair party, because it's very similar to Minotaur, but Minotaur has a faster rate of fire and, you know, special AP and British bias stuff, like the acceleration and smoke and stuff. Woosta isn't going to have that. Instead, Woosta would have other things. Oh, I remember how he described it. Octavian described Woosta as the manly Minotaur.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay.
This is going to be amazing. To see this ship,
I find the Minotaur annoying enough. Thank you. Please don't add another one.
Don't worry, this one won't have the AP it has, it'll just have HE.
Oh, yay, that's an improvement. Oh dear. Speaking of the Minotaur, they've announced one tier 7 premium battleship from the United Kingdom.
Indeed,
HMS Duke of York.
Yep.
I mean, it's basically a premium version of the King George V.
Indeed.
I'm a little concerned about the consumables. Because instead of getting your normal heal, or repair, whatever you want to call it, it gets replaced with defensive AA fire. And I don't see that working.
If I remember...
Not without the ship itself being not significantly different, but it's going to have to be different. Because that ship is not very good at tanking damage, I found.
Yeah, it does.
It takes damage really heavily. And I don't think the AA is actually that good. Though I haven't had many carrier battles with it. At least the tech tree version, I mean.
Yeah, the KGV. I'm looking to see. I feel like I remember hearing something different about that those things, but I don't remember where.
Hold on, let me bring up the stats of... This is probably the first and only time I'm going to compare stats of a ship that has not yet been released. So, where's my KGV?
Well, you got to remember, guys, like, the ship has a lot of history behind it. You know, like, the kind of like the Arizona and, you know, some of the other premium ships that we have. So, you know, a lot of players, you know, will be, you know, attracted to the history aspect of it, the collection aspect of it. So it's not all players are going to look at, you know, say, oh, hey, it has a defensive fire, you know, on its slot too.
Yeah, no, very valid point.
Indeed.
I'm looking at it and the armor, its health pool are all the same. What else have we got? What's the artillery like? It is... Exactly the same, as far as I can tell. Yeah, all the same. I don't understand how this is going to be different.
And the other thing is, like, I'll be the first one to admit, you know, I'm not a well-versed battleship player. So me not, you know, having a repair party at my battleship, it's a little bit scary, you know. I feel comfortable with... I feel comfortable having that repair party, you know, kind of if I eat torps or get citadel pretty hard, you know, going back to the line and licking my wounds and then coming back up once I'm, you know, all my consumables are down and I'm healed back up. And I'll be honest with you, like, I'll feel a little bit uncomfortable if I was playing this shit, because I'm not going to take, you know, risky, I'm not going to do risky moves or try to do a risky pushes because, hey, I don't have a repair party backing me up.
So there are a couple of differences between the KGV and the information that was posted on the 4th of November on the Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reload time is a little longer. You got a fairly improved speed on the turret traverse and a slight decrease in detectability by C. But aside from that, everything's the same as far as I can tell. So although they're getting rid of the heal, they haven't changed anything that makes it, for lack of a better term, tankier to kind of counteract that difference.
It'll be interesting to see how stuff goes with it.
And with pretty much all the, you got a quicker reload time and stuff, I don't think that's going to make a difference, or at least not enough of a difference. We'll see. It's going to be an interesting ship.
It is a King George the V class of ship, right?
Yes.
So yes, I wouldn't think it would be radically different or anything, you know?
Not terribly different, but...
I don't expect it to be radically different, but I do expect... I expect a slightly different play style.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think with the way they've laid it out so far, I don't think we're going to get that.
Yeah.
Correction. We're going to get that, but not in the way that's going to be enjoyable.
On that line of thought, I know you're like your IJN Battleships. What do you think of the Ashitaka?
I do like the Yamagi.
And IJN disappointment, like... Looking at it, looking at stats, looking at the play style, it does seem, you know, kind of underwhelming, you know, compared to what you would expect. And as you may or may not know, it is not the current stock hull of the Yamagi. It's like the older one.
No, it's the old A-hull that they removed two or three patches ago. Now,
at least it was actually it was more like
it's been quite a while.
It's been several months. This was the
quite a while.
This is how Yamagi herself was going to be built in the 30s when she was being 20s when she was being constructed.
Yes, before naval treaties kicked in and they decided to change it into an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, the current stock hull of the Yamagi is better than the Ashitaka. So,
well, see, the thing was they removed it because, well, two reasons. One, it had a slower reload time. It had not way less AA. And this is at tier 8 when carriers are really starting to be dangerous. It had different shells. The AP shells on Ashitaka are just, they're worse. It's called the Type 88 versus what Yamagi has is the Type 91, I think. Don't bother too much about that. There's just the fact that it's a weaker shell. It doesn't penetrate as well. It doesn't really stand up to more angle targets as well, etc., etc. It's a more softer shell, older, basically. And that was one of the issues with it. And Nagato's stock hull, too.
Okay, so I'm looking at the stats now. Thanks, Doom, for letting me know what it was. I don't know, I think it's going to be interesting because it does have the AA on it is going to be significantly bad. And it's a Japanese battleship, so the AA on Yamagi now isn't that great. You know, compared to the likes of the hell, even the Germans give it a run for its money. Being a tier lower, I don't know.
It does mean.
It's one of the few ships I will highly consider buying just because I love the Yamagi.
Mm-hmm.
It does mean you have those Yamagi guns with mostly the shell, the same performance at tier 7, where you have the most 16-inch guns at tier
9. 7. However, you also get at least it seems to me, more carrier games, and you tend to get up-tiered more than you get down-tiered.
Yeah, so you're definitely going to be cuddling up to your cruiser buddies.
As a ship? Yes, absolutely. As a ship to play? It's probably not going to be the best option. It's going to be a ship. It's going to depend on price for me. That'd be my opinion. If it's, as long as it's not ridiculously expensive, you know, probably somewhere around $40, $50, I would consider it. Even that'd be kind of high end, in my opinion.
Do remember that she is getting a camouflage similar to Ki from Kobayashi. What's his name? Kobayashi something.
Oh, fuck it, I'm buying it. I don't care how much it costs me.
I'm trying to find where the image is of it. It's kind of a reddish orange with the gold diamonds, like a Ki did.
It looks, honestly, it looks better than the Ki. This than the new one.
Yeah. We'll see.
On the carrier note earlier, let's take a moment of silence for the death of A.S. Bogue. Just a moment of silence. It's going to be a great time to play with the new patch. It's going to be great playing carriers, especially the Ryuto.
I'm sorry, people still play carriers?
Oh, no.
I never see them.
Oh, no. Thunder, please. We don't need to upset the player base. they're already in a mess as it is.
Oh, yeah. That's all right. We're talking about CV players here, so that's what, three people? All right, it wasn't that funny.
It's not necessarily the rework that we want or we've been waiting for.
Wargaming have said it isn't a rework. Yeah. It is kind of like a preliminary change.
It's a quality of life for the USN carriers.
There you go.
Pretty much, yeah. And to be honest, I don't think it's for the US carriers themselves. I think it's more for their teammates, because so many people complain when they go strike only.
Yeah, it's like they're stuck between the rock and the hard place of, do I want to do damage and help my team kill things, or do I want to protect my team from enemy carriers?
And the thing is that's going to impact on the Japanese line pretty heavily, just because, I mean, American fighters, I mean, you're living under a rock if you don't understand how American fighters deal with the Japanese planes of any kind. So I can definitely see us seeing more US carriers. It's going to be interesting. I think it's from Lexington, the tier 8 upwards, you can get AP bombs.
Yes.
Yep. The tier 8 and above.
So again, that's sucks to be a German battleship, but that's going to be interesting.
And then coming off of those, they like rapid fire started showing off the next up and coming tech tree line that comes after the recently released Pan Asia destroyers, the French battleships.
Oh yeah, those look pretty freaking cool. I mean, the stats and some of the history behind the lower tiers. We don't necessarily have the armor models yet, but looking at some of the current armor, they're looking pretty good for the lower tier especially too. And the tier 8, the Richelieu, the AA, whoo, hot damn.
I caught myself looking at the tier 10.
You caught yourself?
Yeah. The reason I started looking at it is, on first glance, I actually thought it was the Dunkirk. I thought it might be like a new camo for the Dunkirk, because I was just scrolling past. That ship is going to be an interesting one to play, because from the looks of it, it's essentially the Graf Spee, or Spee, or Spee, or however the fuck you're supposed to pronounce it, at tier 10. With two extra guns that are bigger.
It is pretty much that.
It's the Spee's big sister, essentially. That's what it looks like.
And it's been very controversial, the design. Because I've seen all over either the forums and in Discord and stuff, everyone's been basically disappointed. A lot of people were expecting a three quads, standard, like, Iowa or North Carolina arrangement. They were expecting that with three quads, of the 4 31 millimeter guns.
Yeah, I don't see them ever doing that.
Pretty much the ABX layout.
Yes.
Yeah.
What a lot of people keep pointing out is the firing angles of the, at least the aft turret when you're trying to angle against an enemy, saying that the rear turret, you really have to show more broadside than you want to pull it into action. So yeah. That's what a lot of people were pointing out in the terms of the design of
but
it.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be one of those ships where you likely see a lot of zigzagging, especially when going up against battleships. They're going to time their turns to fire while the enemy is reloading, which you see a fair bit in kind of the mid tiers and a little bit of the higher tiers, depending on the captain. I see it with Montana quite a lot. People trying to get the other half of their armament at the rear in into the fight as much as they
can. It'll definitely be something to watch out for, definitely.
And again, it's going to be another ship that's, is it going to work? Is it not? We're not going to know until it's actually in the game.
Yeah.
And like you said, we don't know what the armor is like.
I mean, it's, you can read that the plating is 32 millimeters, the belt is 350 to 400, but how that's laid out can mean a world of difference.
Yes. Yes. And how that is angled, particularly with, not so much with the outer armor, but the inner armor, specifically for things like the Citadel.
Yeah, because that's just outer armor. You don't know the inner workings.
Yeah. For all we know, that those battleships have turret back armor like the German ships.
Or even spaced armor.
Spaced armor is also an option, yeah.
AKA black hole armor, as some people have been calling it recently.
Oh, yeah, damage goes nowhere.
Yeah. Oh, I got a penetration. Zero damage? Nice.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the... it's not the same ship as the Dunkirk. It's... like the one above it. It's like the improvement of the Dunkirk.
The improvement of the Dunkirk is Richelieu.
That one. I'm looking forward to that one. Of all the ships that have been announced, that's the one that caught my attention.
I mean, their forward and like bow like armoring is very, very good, I gotta say. But in the instance of like the tier 8, you know, the Gascon and the tier 10, you know, when you have one turret in the front, it's like, okay, how are you going to, you know, bow on and try to fight, you know, an Iowa or Bismarck?
Well, see, the thing is, I know you're thinking about it in turrets, but you're forgetting to think about it in guns. True. It's the same as Bismarck. Utterly the same.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. That is true, but...
The reason it caught my attention is because it's the improvement on the Dunkirk. And the Dunkirk, the game as it is right now, the Dunkirk is my favorite ship in the game.
I see.
I love that thing. It's my most played ship. That may have changed, actually. I'm not sure. But at one point, it was my most played ships by quite a large margin. I love the Izumo, as unpopular as that is. Not a big fan of the Nelson, but I do love those forward-mounted gun, or as they've been called, the shoe ships. The floating shoes.
I've never heard that. That's great.
Yeah, I think it's usually used for Nelson.
Oh, that's funny.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Just because I love, it's such a different playstyle. It breaks, it kind of breaks how, because you don't have to worry about the rear gun because there is no rear gun. It's you can focus purely on getting that angle right. There's no point looking around, seeing if you've got another target because you don't have a rear turret to fire anyway.
Indeed.
And it changes the game for me and I enjoy it.
I know you're looking forward to these ships. You know what I'm looking forward to? The Roma. Oh gosh.
The Roman. Italian, right?
Yeah, tier 8 premium ship.
Roma is very highly anticipated.
Yeah.
And you'll actually start
I've seen a lot of people asking for it.
They're in live server testing as of the patch now. Roma, Duke of York, Richelieu, and a few others of the British. They're in live server testing. So you'll start seeing them in battle finally.
I can say the armor layout, I find it very interesting. Because if you zigzag and you angle correctly, you're going to be hard to get off of the battlefield, or I should say the sea.
I'm looking at the picture on it right now, and the first thing that comes to mind is it looks like a baby Yamato. with the secondaries, the way they're laid out, and the superstructure, it kind of looks like the Yamato.
those are 6-inch turrets. Those are two triple 6-inch turrets per side, and those smaller ones are 90 mils. The 90s are dual purpose.
What's the main guns?
15-inch. However,
15-inch at tier 8?
Well, Bismarck has 15 at tier 8.
So does...
But see, here's the thing. Those 15-inch guns are the best gosh darn 15-inch guns ever built.
Yep. So freaking great.
They perform on Iowa's gun level and Yamato's gun level in terms of penetration, velocity, and hitting power.
The Roma is potentially, you know, we'd have to see, you know, when it comes out, but it potentially could be a ship that's not afraid of being up-tiered because its penetration, you know, yeah, Montana, I see you, but get slapped for, 15K or, you know, it's like, it looks like it's going to be a very competitive ship, even if up-tiered.
She's fast at 30 knots. She has, she may have a 30-second reload, but the turret traverses 30 seconds too, which is hilarious.
Looking at that, you could forego expert marksmanship.
Well, given all that, I kind of question what's the downside. I'm leaning more towards, I reckon that AA is probably awful.
AA would be, if from what I'm remembering, her AA is okay to decent. Yeah. The 90s are, the 90 millimeters were great, but everything else is not.
Well, to be fair, the game doesn't always conform to real life.
Mm-hmm. This is also true, yes.
And when I say it doesn't always, it very rarely conforms to real life.
Indeed.
Because there's no way those guns can be that good without a significant downside.
What's also hilarious is that those are the longest ranged artillery guns ever. They could reach out in history, not game, of course, to 42 kilometers.
Bloody hell, that's more than Yamato.
Yes, they could outrange Yamato and Iowa.
And that reminds me, you know, the weird thing is the Italians, the Navy actually used like bespoke made shells. So the penetration aspect of every shell was not uniform. So it's very interesting to see that, you know, the Roma has really good penetration, but historically speaking, the Regia Maria...
That'll be the downside. That'll be the downside. When you fire a shell, all right, am I going to get a good... did I fire good shells or bad shells this time?
Boys, get your goats ready, because RNG Jesus is going to need some sacrifices tonight.
Yes!
Oh dear. Yeah, I'm curious now. I want to find out about the history of this ship.
It's very interesting.
I don't know anything about the Italian Navy.
At least for the Roma, I did actually do a historical post on it, which I will get while you continue talking.
I was actually one of the people that requested that from you. Remember you, Doomlike made a poll, and there's a bunch of ships where he was going to do a historical write-up, you know, a historical look at. And I was one of the people who voted for the Roma, and it ended up being the most popular one. It's definitely going to be a really good ship. You know, you might think the detection, ooh, that looks very, very good. What's the base number on the detection?
Base of the detection is 14.5. Factor in 3% for camo, 20% for 10% for concealment module, and 14% for the captain skill.
Oh yeah, that's scary. I mean, that's down to what, like 11.2, just off the top of my head.
I can calculator that.
That's scary, you know. And considering the fact that the deck is 32 millimeters. you just laugh at Cruiser HE, except for the German, which is, you know, a quarter penetration, 1/4 penetration.
Okay.
That's the only thing you'd have to worry about.
It matches, it gets down to 10.88, so basically 10.9.
Wow.
That's the same as Monarch.
Oh, wow.
So it'll give Monarch a run for its money in terms of the stealthiest tier 8 battleship.
Yeah. Now that I've very briefly glanced at the historical posts, Doom Not Scott on the forum, and I'm kind of interested now. Again, it's all, I think it's going to be the same as the the Ash Attacker.
Yeah.
It's all going to depend on how much it is and how much money I have at the time.
I can imagine for Roma being a tier 8, it'll likely be 50, no more than 55. Probably I'm thinking in terms of dollars. I don't know the conversion to pounds for you.
Well, don't forget, NA is my main server. So
That's true.
I don't think in dollars in that case anyway.
You know, and that reminded me, guys, not a lot of people talked about this. Not a lot of community contributors or YouTubers covered this. But back in October, Wargaming reduced the price for Latin American countries. So before on NA as a server, you know, if somebody was from Honduras and they're playing WoWs, they'd have to pay the prices we pay. So $50, you know, $40. And the standard of living, you know, $50 over here, $40, you could save up for a month, I'm sure, and be able to buy a premium ship. But over there, in some cases, $50 a month is 2 years pay. So
Jesus.
I gotta commend Wargaming for doing this, because with all these premium ships coming, all these Christmas deals, Black Friday deals, Latin American players can now, you know, comfortably be able to buy camo, premium time, premium ships. So I think this is one of the best and better moves that I've seen so far in this year.
I didn't know that. Yeah, that's something that's nice for the...
That's actually pretty good. I mean, Wargaming have done, I was going to say stuff similar, but kind of not really. But they've done, they did stuff for Hurricane Harvey. They've raised money to help save the battleship Texas.
Yeah, with Project Valor, the partnership.
There's a few small updates that, a lot of them not really a big deal. There's a new port coming, Hamburg. So Germany's getting represented in the port systems at last. I don't think they've had Germany. They don't have Germany port yet, do they? I don't think.
No, there's not a German port.
One, it seems stupid, but they're finally reorganizing the modules at last. Putting them in price order.
Yeah.
Not seemingly random places. They're actually going to be in price order. So starting from the left is the cheapest and the most expensive on the right.
Yeah, it really helps with the upcoming newer players where, you know, they can see the progression as they build up, you know.
Indeed.
We've got the IGN torpedo launchers. The reload time on some of the ships is being changed, mostly on cruisers.
That is to normalize for both the cruisers and destroyers reloading of those torpedoes to both lines. It's basically equalizing them so that there's not some wildly different number here and there, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so, according to this, the reload time is decreased for Miyoko, Megami, Ibuki, Otago. All the ARP ships by the looks of it, as well as the Southern and Eastern Dragon Miyokos, and the High School Fleet Harakaze.
Yep.
So that's good. More torpedoes, because the game needs more torpedoes.
Hey, they're the Japanese ones. It's fine.
No, that's true.
Not only are battleships and new cruisers coming up, but there's also some pretty cool destroyers that are, you know, on the horizon. The Aigle? How do you... I think I'm probably saying that pretty wrong.
I believe it's Aigle. It translates to eagle. So I went with Aegle just purely because it's similar in pronunciation. I could be probably totally wrong.
Yeah, that's the tier 6 French destroyer.
Yeah, premium French destroyer.
Tier 6, the first actual French destroyer that is not for not a silly one for the operation.
Yes. Yeah, the one for the operation being the Cyclone.
Yep.
What was it, tier 3? Tier 3, tier 4?
Tier 5. It was tier 5.
Was it tier 5? Fair enough.
Yeah.
And to those who are not familiar, this is back when the Dunkirk operation was happening. There was the Cyclone, and I believe, what was the other one?
Anthony.
The Anthony.
Yep.
Oh, Anthony.
Yes, it is British. It is not Anthony. Believe me, I know my mother complained of saying my middle name is Anthony for a very long time. Yes, my middle name is Anthony. Try not to faint.
Facts you didn't know about Thunder.
I'm holding onto my desk, so I don't. Yeah, so looking at it, in comparison to her peers, she definitely has a lot of health. 17,000 is a lot for a tier 6 destroyer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the HE shells do quite a bit of damage as well.
Well, what's funny is if you read what it is now, like on that dev blog post, the HE damage, 1,000, lower than anything else. It has been fixed, though. The dev blog posts later have been updated. It's now the HE damage is 2,000. So it now is the highest, Well, one of the highest HE damage per shell, and it makes sense when your guns are 139mm guns. Bigger than even the Russian ones. To compensate for that, the turret traverse is a little slower. I think it's like 20-something seconds now, as opposed to 18. All
right.
But yeah, the AP is pretty high with 2,600 damage. Pretty quick reload time, too.
That might be a ship to keep an eye on, then.
The real thing is, if you look at it, the torpedoes, they may only have a 7-kilometer range and go 57 knots. They reload kind of quickly at 77 seconds, but the damage, 18,400.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
They're mini nukes.
Hey, I think I may have found a destroyer that I can actually knife fight with.
Especially, you're one-shot any destroyer at tier with those things.
Especially at tier, you know, around that, you know, tier 5, tier 6, tier 7, you know, getting chunked down by one torpedo for 18k, that's huge.
Most destroyers, they can't survive that. Cruisers especially, that can almost be half their health or at least a third for most of them at that tier.
Yeah, that's pretty significant.
I'll tell you, once this hits the premium shop, you'll be seeing a lot more wrecked in team chat and all chat.
Yep.
Around that tier.
And if you going with history for a little bit, that's just a taste of what the French destroyers are, because they just got bigger and faster and more of those 139mm guns.
Yep. Which is, I would say, it looks like they're pretty much going to be rivaling the Russian destroyers in gun wise, and then their torpedoes are so good. It looks, it's probably looking like,
well, a French destroyer hit the speed record for a ship at that time period. The La Fantasque class, I believe it was either La Fantasque, yep, or La Terrible, hit 45 knots on, I think, sea trials.
Awesome. How fast?
45 knots.
When was this?
When was that? I'm forgetting if it was early 40s, maybe late 30s.
Really interesting.
I can't remember the date off the top of my head either.
Because I think the ship before that held the speed record was, I want to say, Shimikaze.
Shimikaze did hit 40 knots. I think it was after this, maybe, perhaps. I'm looking for it now.
I'm sure I read somewhere that Shimikaze was the fastest ship at the time.
It might have.
She was using an experimental engine system. Yeah. Yeah, I think it was the first Japanese ship to use steam turbines.
After her refit, she was a lot slower. Fantask went way down, and after getting some refits for new armament and AA armament and stuff like that.
Yeah, see, I think Shimakaze was able to hit 40 knots when she was fully loaded. Moving on a little bit, there are two new sounds coming, apparently. One is new ship collisions. So when you hit a teammate, it looks like a little bit different. And then my personal favorite, they're adding a horn. Anyone that tells me that they're going to add a horn and it's not going to be spammed the entire battle, I'm going to slap you. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. And it's going to be... It'll
be for New Year's. A festive horn is added. Help of airs, avoid collisions, alert allies about torpedo salvos.
So I don't know if it's going to be a manual kind of thing.
If it's manual, I'm agreeing with Thunder. It's going to be spammed to death.
No, because it says it will help players avoid collisions and alert allies. The only time that horn goes is after you've crashed into them. So in order for that to happen, you have to be able to press a button. There's no way around it.
It could be.
So it's going to be like the quick commands, where there's going to be 2, 3, maybe 4 days where you start a battle and everyone spams the damn commands. This is going to be the same thing. The battle's going to start, everyone's going to press H or J or whatever button it is, and all you're going to hear is Kris Kringle coming down the goddamn staircase trying to find where you leave your AP shells for your battleship. Well, they do say each class is going to have a different unique, and I'm quoting here, will get its own unique sound. That kind of worries me.
Are they saying ship class is in, like, Bajoni and Shores will have different ones, or are they meaning type?
When they say class, they mean a battleship class or the CV class, cruisers. So basically, we're going to have 4 different horns in the game.
If you want to be technical, you're right. There you go. It's ship type, technically.
Oh, I'll be technical.
Technically.
And Thunder will be like, nah.
In terms of the game, it is a class.
Yeah, I know.
It is a class of ship. In real life, yes, a class is like the Iowa class, the Amalo class, mm-hmm. et cetera. But this is World of Warships, not real life, so shut the hell up, I'm right.
Oh. But
deal with it.
Fine. Well, to briefly touch on Salem, it's Des Moines, but a little bit worse.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I believe that's going to be something for clans only.
No, it's speculation.
Considering that the first Clan Wars reward ship is the battlecruiser Stalingrad. I don't believe that's going to be it. My speculation was that it's going to be the ranked reward for like 7 or 8 seasons. Like, because you think Flint is 3, Black is 5, just maybe possibly Salem's 7 or 8. That's just my speculation.
To add to that, I've heard another speculation, which is that it's going to be the first free XP cruiser that you can use, and just like the Missouri.
Free XP for tier 10?
That's another speculation that I have seen and
it's
heard.
Possible. It's definitely possible. I fully expect that free XP to be at least 1 million, if not a lot more.
Just a bit of background. The Salem actually was in game before. And during that time, though, it was only limited to developers and super testers and those kind of people. And it was a test bed for radar at that time. 20 kilometer radar
Bloody hell.
Yeah, obviously you didn't see it like every battle or every other battle because it was only like developers and super testers, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, you may not see it, but it's sure as hell CG.
With it was the... What was the carrier, the name of the carrier?
The Salem Witch.
Yeah, the Salem Witch. So you also had,
there was another carrier that they've removed, the Shinano.
Mm-hmm.
That used to be in the game as well. There's a few ships like that used to be in the game and just kind of disappeared. So hopefully they bring him back. I would love to have Shinano.
The Shinano was a very odd carrier. Very much so, because it's Yamato in Hull, but it's a carrier. So it has ridiculous armor, but she had a very tiny plane loadout. They had her with like 45 something planes, and she was tier 10. So, yeah.
I think the original plan was she was going to be the tier 10 instead of Hakuru. I believe that's how it started.
Mm-hmm.
And Hakuru replaced Shinano. But a little real-world fact, Shinano is the largest ship ever sunk by a submarine.
This is indeed true. She was also the largest carrier in the world until, I believe, the Forrestal class were constructed.
Shinano also holds the record for probably one of the shortest ships' lives in World War
II. She wasn't even going out on any deployment. She was going to be fitted out.
Yeah, she was going to be fitted out, and then I can't remember what the submarine's name.
Archerfish. I'm pretty sure it's Archerfish.
Archerfish, that's the one.
Yeah. But Japan managed to have two of the largest of something for like decades because of how they constructed. They had the largest submarine too until the nuclear subs of like the 50s and 60s.
Well, don't they still hold the largest battleship ever constructed?
Yeah, the biggest battleship ever by terms of weight and partially dimensions. Iowa is longer, but Yamato weighs more and is wider.
The amount of ways more, it's wider, and it's got the biggest guns ever fitted to a warship.
Indeed. The 460mm, 45 caliber guns. She was meant to be a battleship killer. That was what she was built for, so. But she never got a chance to actually do that. Yeah, the last ships on this list, I was forgetting about another one, it keeps slipping under the radar, haha. Is also that tier 6 German destroyer, T-61.
Ah, yes. Yeah, I forgot. I almost forgot about that.
Never heard of it.
It's pretty good.
See, it slipped under Thunder's radar, too.
Thunder's a battleship player. He doesn't have radar.
Oh, right. Sorry. Sorry. Just wait till...
unless he's in Missouri.
You gotta wait till the Russian battleships, man.
Ooh.
I kid. Looking at it, so basically... to look at the T-61 briefly, it's basically Gade, but better.
Gade on steroids. That's what I think of it.
Yeah.
That sounds like something very different.
Yeah, it's Gade, but better. Just like how Salem is Des Moines, but worse. Well, a little bit worse. Just the Salem is almost exactly the same. It's just there's minor difference. Abruzzi, on the other hand, the Tier 7 Italian cruiser, third Italian ship to be arriving into World of Warships, is basically basically think about it as a bigger Duke of the Aosta, essentially. Just a little bit slower. She's 35 knots, not Duke's 36.5. She got the same type of guns, but more. She got 10 of them as opposed to 8. The velocities of the guns are pretty hilarious. If you look at the HE, 995 meters per second. First, the 6-inch shell.
Wait, how fast?
The HE initial shell velocity is 995 meters per second.
Would they be the fastest in the game? I don't think I've ever seen a shell velocity that high.
They're not. Some of the Russian 100mm secondary guns, like if you look at Kutuzov's secondary guns and Chapayev, they have 1,000. And Akizuki has 1,000 meters per second on her both shell types. though they're kind of light shells, so they kind of lose their velocity at range. They start slowing down. AP velocity is 910.
A lot of people would say that it's pretty much the big brother of the Duga, except that it has a way better concealment than the Duga.
Concealment on this is hilarious. You can get it down to 9.5.
You know, that's one of the things about the Duga. It's like, it's a good DD hunter, but if the DD can see you from 12 kilometers away, 13 kilometers away, good job hunting them down. But other than that, like, this ship can be a great, you know, harasser, flank harasser, with its speed, its stealth, you know, kind of towards the late game, hunt down, you know, those low HP ships that are just kind of wandering around caps. The armor of it, I wouldn't like be charging into cap. It's not like a ship you want to charge.
It has Dousta syndrome where it's very thin, and I think the Citadel's thin, so it's like your shells can still hit the broadside and spaced armor miss type thing. So it's really like, if you angle right, shell, it may eat shells, but they'll do nothing. Also, it's got those funny 12 kilometer slow torpedoes on each side with awesome torpedo arcs, like Dousta has.
I only own the Duca, so I haven't actually played it, so I'm not entirely sure how the Italian line even plays. I haven't played any of it, so I don't have any reference. So I'm not really sure what to think of it. Honestly, it doesn't sound like my kind of ship.
No, that's the thing about it. You know, we're getting a lot of different types of ships, cruisers, destroyers, you know, premium ships and normal line ships. You know, so many different. It's not like, you know, this month or the next month or whenever some of these ships are released, it's like the same kind of play style, but they appeal to different types of players. You have higher tiers, you know, the Roma, the Gascon, you have all those, you know, higher tier ships, but then you also have like mid-tier, you know, the Abruzzi, the Ashitaka, you know, the Aigle.
I think that wraps up most of all of them. Try as we might, we're unable to get everything.
We've been very ship heavy this episode.
It's the episode introduction for our talking ship segment.
Covered pretty much all the new ships coming.
Yeah, if we missed any,
coming there very soon, out already. Yep.
And if there's anything we missed, it's all on that the World of Warships development blog on Facebook.
I was gonna say that's mean, but yeah.
For those of you guys who are not familiar with the World of Warships development blog on Facebook, we'll link it down below so that you can access it. And they're pretty cool about releasing stuff, giving you pictures, giving you numbers and kind of thing. Whichever the person you are, you know, pictures or stats.
You get a lot of stats of upcoming ships, most of which may change and quite often do.
Oh, yeah.
But pretty much everything we've talked about, there'll be a link of some form if it exists for you to look at.
Of course, all the ships and so far what we've talked about are work in progress.
None of them are finalized until they're on the live server.
They can change all the way up to until they get into the live client and are playable by the general player base and when they're in the premium shop.
Yep.
That's it for this episode.
Thanks a lot for joining us, guys. Of course, you can find us on the NA forums. I'll link everything that we talked about, the dev blogs, all the pictures in the show notes. And we'll see you guys out there in the seas. Thank you very much for listening.
See y'all later.
Have fun. Don't get sunk.